We're all familiar with the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb, that was written just as a secular poem of a real situation in the 1800s of a girl who had a pet lamb, and it would follow her to church. And later on, it took on religious meaning when people started interpreting Mary as Saint Mary and the lamb as Jesus. And maybe because of the gospel today, of the words of John the Baptist, when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world." And so this image of the lamb was very evocative, certainly in his time and even in our own as well, as a lamb is something very lovable, obviously, and defenseless and humble, and also because of the Jewish Passover lamb that was sacrificed, and the blood was placed on the doorposts of the home so that the angel of death would pass over them and that their firstborn sons would be still alive in the morning. And so in many different ways, we see the power of this image of the Lamb of God. Even in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, it says the Lamb who was slain is alive. So it's a victorious Lamb. And he uses that term 28 times, John the Apostle does, in the book of Revelation. Three times in a little while you will say, "Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world," right? And then right before communion, I will say, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." It's a quote from Revelation chapter 19. That says, well, blessed are those called to the wedding feast of the Lamb, because that's what we are celebrating here, the wedding feast of the Lamb, Jesus, and us, the bride of Christ, with him, in total union with him. And we heard in the first reading from Isaiah about the servant of the Lord, and he comes to do the will of God. And in a few chapters after that, he says that he's a lamb who is led to the slaughter, and that he bears our sins. And so these were all prophecies of Jesus. And in Psalm 40 today, it said, "No more animal sacrifices do you desire, but behold, I come." And so Jesus came to finish with all of those animal sacrifices, which were just a small symbol of the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus, the Lamb of God, would offer for us. St. Paul as well, our second reading, he was called to be an apostle. He gave his life for Jesus. John the Baptist died, right, as a martyr for truth and for love. And tomorrow we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and he saw his life as a sacrifice as well when he learned that people were making threats against him. He said this, "If physical death is the price that I must pay to free my white brothers and sisters from a permanent death of the spirit, then nothing could be more redemptive." So he learned the lesson well from Jesus about redemptive suffering, offering one's life for others, and how beautifully he did that in a non-violent way on his part. Thanks be to God for that wonderful grace. We should all learn from it. So in brief, the title Lamb of God conjures up three images, one of affection and love for the Lamb, another of the sacrifice and the suffering of the Lamb, and thirdly, of the glory and praise that we give to the Lamb. And that's all right here in this very Mass that we celebrate. The singer-songwriter T. Graham Brown took Mary Had a Little Lamb, changed up the words a little bit. He said, "Mary had a little lamb, the Son of God, the Son of Man, born to give the world his light, God's gift to us that silent night. He chose the girl of purest heart to give his plan the perfect start. A son was born to die and live. He was a gift for every man, delivered by God's loving hand. So open up your gift and believe. Open up your gift and believe. Amen."